Our scripture affirmation today comes from 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you.
Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us.
For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat.
For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are using others.
Now, them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed.
Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother.
Oh, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, we want you to continue to work in, through, and around us. We are so glad that you are here with us today as we continue to grow and learn in your word. Fill us, lead us, guide us. Help us to be the people that you've called. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Morning,
Jesus, we come to you. Help us to recognize we need our chains broken. Help us to recognize how desperately we need you. Help us to recognize that without you we can do nothing. Help us to recognize that you are and that you are a wonderful and loving God, but we desperately need you. We can't make it on our own. There is no such thing as us being able to handle it on our own. Our handling it is not enough. Our handling it will not get it done. It's in you that we live and move and have our very being. But without you, we have no life. We're just corpses walking around. So, Lord, today, let us know your life. Let us know your way. Break every chain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Looking today at the third chapter of 2 Thessalonians, third chapter of 2 Thessalonians, we're finishing up this interesting book. We've done 1 and 2 Thessalonians over the last 3 months. It's just interesting to take a look at all this, and there's been so very much. But today, we want to look, starting at the sixth verse in chapter 3. And it was an interesting verse because you don't know what to do with it if you read it surface. If you read it off the surface, you go, what is he saying? You know, at least that's how it struck me. It says, now we command you, brethren. That's strong language. I'm telling you, this is what you got to do. I'm telling you, this is the way it's going to be. I'm telling you, we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, with all of the character of Jesus, with all of the authority of Jesus, with all of the presence of Jesus, with the power of the Spirit of the living God, with the sense that the Father is behind us, with all of the authority of the Lord Jesus, that ye withdraw yourselves. Whoa. That you would withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. It's interesting. It's saying that you need to withdraw yourself, not mingle with, not hang around certain people. I get that. We don't want to be out there with those sinners. We don't want to be out there hanging out with those people that don't love Jesus. But then you read it a little closer. Withdraw yourselves from every brother. Whoa. Are some of you disorderly? See, you're my brothers. Am I disorderly? You know, have you ever stopped to think about this? Am I out of line? Am I out of whack with what the Spirit of God is saying how to live? Am I somehow messing this thing up? Do I need to withdraw myself, or do I need to withdraw from people that aren't doing it the way that they should? He said, we command you, brother, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. Now, we know this can't mean being withdrawn from the world. You can't withdraw from the world. You live in the world. You've got to work in the world. You've got to eat in the world. You've got to be there in the world. There are people out there that aren't right. There are people out there that we need to witness to. In fact, the reason we need to witness to is because they don't know, because they don't get it, because they're not living it. But there are those who are supposed to be brothers. There are those who are supposed to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There are those who are supposed to be the people of God who are acting like the world. And they are giving the body of Christ, the bride, the representation of God, what people see of God, they're giving our Lord a bad name. Yeah, that's pretty tough, actually. Because unfortunately, I look in the mirror and I see, man, that's a poor representation of Christ. When I look in the mirror, I realize that I fall short. In fact, I've recognized that even though I am born again and I have been changed, there are days when I do not live up to what I should be. Now you guys are better than me. Most of you just live up to every day, and people just say, ah, look at that, the glory of God on feet walking through our land. We could just follow after them safely because whatever they're doing must be right.
Amen.
There you go. You see? Found another liar in the group. So there's this wonderful, wonderful challenge that we have to understand what he's saying to us. Now, he goes on to say that walks disorderly, not after the tradition which he received of us. It's not just tradition as in habits. It's tradition as in teaching, as in understanding the Word of God. He said these are some things that we should know. And we know that the things that we need to know is that Jesus was crucified, dead, buried, the third day rose again, and that his death, burial, and resurrection means that all of our sin can be forgiven if we have been drawn by him to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. We are changed. We are made different. He has saved us. He has delivered us. And once we have done that, not to get that done, but once we have done that, then we need to live in such a way that we let our light so shine among men that they see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. We need to live in such a way that we demonstrate that we have been changed. We need to live in such a way that demonstrates that we are now different. And, you know, it's a process. We got to get that it's a process. Surely we're changed from glory to glory to glory, but we don't always live up to all that we are. Amen. But we need to be about the business of trying. Going that way, leading that way, doing what God would have us to do. So that means we don't hang around with those that say they're Christian, but don't act like it. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. He says, I showed you how to live. You know how to behave because I was an example for you of what it takes to do that. Can you say to your friends and neighbors and family, I'm an example of how to be a Christian? Can you say to the people that your work, look, you can look at me, it's all right, because I'm the way that you should live. Do you live in a way that at the end of the day, people say that's the way that a Christian should live? I had to go, that's what John, 1 John 1's for. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, because all of us fall short of the glory of God. All of us miss it. Do we excuse our sin? You know, one of the big challenges is that we try to excuse our sin. Well, you know, she made me mad. So I had a right to act that way. I'm disappointed. So it just comes out in me that way. Well, this is how God made me. I have a temper. You know, I have an addictive personality. And since I have an addictive personality, that excuses this behavior that you see here. But I'm God's child. I want us to live in such a way that people see God. It's not good enough. And this is not a beat up on you sermon, in spite of what it must sound like to some. This is not what that's all about. I want you to know the power that you already have. I want you to know what you've already got. It's there for you. Take advantage of it. My heart breaks when I see people that say they know the Lord but still live in bondage. They've got chains, and he's a chain breaker, but they're still bound. They're still being held down. They're still fastened to this earthbound life. Why is it that we don't avail ourselves of what God has already given us? If you have the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the living God is working in you. That's the same power that raised Jesus Christ out of death. And if he can be raised out of death, you can be raised out of your mess. Amen. You don't have to do that. You don't have to be there. But some days you do that. That's the reality of this humanness, this way that we are. We are a part of the human race and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have us this flesh that's still hanging to us, these habits, these desires that have been corrupted by the fall, this stuff, we're part of that. And even though we have been translated out of darkness into his marvelous light, the reality is that sometimes we slip back into sin. Sometimes we're seduced. Sometimes we dive headlong into it because we want it to. But we don't have to stay there. I offer you freedom. Freedom, freedom that God has died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross for you to receive. Be free today. He says, neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing, but wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Sometimes we get in this idea that we don't have to work at this Christian thing. I get that. We quote all the time the same verse, by grace you are saved. And we let people know that grace means that you can't earn it by work. Grace means that you've been empowered by God. Grace means that it's not your work that does it. But listen, please don't forget that you've been saved for God to work through you, in you, and that you now are a part of the tool that he uses to draw men and women to God. You've got work to do. You've been called to something. It is not enough for you to get saved well enough so that you're patting out the flames off your butt as you're going into heaven. That's not good enough. You need to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And a disciple of Jesus Christ is one who makes disciples of Jesus Christ that can make disciples of Jesus Christ. You might say, well, I don't know how to do that. Good, we'll teach you. See, that's a good start. Confessing where you are, knowing where you are, learning where you are is an important start to this whole thing. You've got to locate yourself so you know which direction you're to go in. I've got the direction for you. I've got where you're going. But do you know where you are? If you don't know where you are, you don't know which direction you are to go to get to where you ought to be. If you don't understand how much you have missed it, if you don't understand how different you are than the ideal that you're shooting for, then you don't know how far you have to go. we make two disastrous mistakes. One, we think we are so very, 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 very horrible that we can never be what God would have us to be. That our past will cling to us until we are somehow led into heaven by the back door. That our horrible background and our horrible mistakes and the circumstances that we have come in have so drowned us into a sea of horror that we will never ever be able to make it. That's a lie from the pit of hell. If he saved me, he can save any of you. He can change any of you. You can be made different, and he is working in you to change you from glory. That time you heard his word and you obeyed, to glory. That time you confessed the truth of who he is, to glory. That time you, in your life, acknowledge that Jesus is Lord and you wanted to tell somebody else, to glory. That time that you proclaim the goodness and grace of God, because every time that you have the Spirit of God working in your life, a little bit of the glory of God is revealed to you and you are making a difference, and you who can make a difference this day. You don't have to wait till tomorrow.
Right. Amen. Amen. Right.
Paul says in verse 9, not because we have not power. He worked hard. Not because He didn't have the Spirit of God, not because he didn't have the ability to do what he needed to do or get what he wanted or claim to make others work for him or draw from them, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you that if any would not work, if they won't do what they've been called to do to survive in the circumstance that they find themselves. Any would not work, neither should he eat. This is a different social setting than the time that he wrote. This is a different way of looking at it, but sometimes I think some of us are just eating off of everybody else's work. I know that's not a nice thing to say. This is not a politically correct sermon. But we desperately need everybody to do what they are supposed to do, whatever that supposed to do is. I mean, just the body, every joint and tendon in the body is to supply the other parts of the body. We need each other. I need you for me to be able to thrive. You need me for you to be able to grow. We need each other so that the body continually is feeding and getting stronger, but not only for ourselves, but for the whole world to see. And as we spiral upward, the whole world begins to say, my goodness, look at that. Look at them. If God can touch them, he's got me. If God can work in them, I've known them. I've seen them. I've grown with them. And if he can work in them, there's a chance for me. There's a world filled with hopelessness. that doesn't believe that they can be free, that doesn't even have a glimpse of what freedom really is. They think freedom is foolishness. They can, I'm free to be as much of a fool as I want to be. No. Freedom is the feeling of ultimate usefulness. I'm being used for my purpose. Every day I'm fulfilling what God is most satisfied with. Like that guy, the missionary who was a runner. And people complain, what are you doing that silly old running? But he said, when I run, I feel his pleasure. Some of you need to find your race so you can feel his pleasure. You've got to find out what God is calling you so you can feel his pleasure. You can sense his presence. You can know that you're with him. You can know your value. You are so valuable. Oh, if you could only see what I see. This amazing value, this grand opportunity, this greatness that God has placed in our midst so that we might be a city that's a light on the hill for the whole world to see, that as we go out into the community, we light up that community. As we go out into the community, we heal the hurting. As we go out into the community, we preach the life-giving word of the gospel. As we go out into the community, we teach people how to live, and so that they can be disciples who are capable of making disciples. Over the years, I've had lots of salesman friends. And, you know, there's certainly a natural gift. Some people have that gift of gab. You know, they could sell you anything. But one of the things I've learned is that you still need to be taught. You still need to be taught to organize yourself and to be timely and to do the things that you need to do. Some of you are gifted in particular areas, but you need to be taught how to mobilize that gift for the body of Christ. You ought to be free to use that gift for the body of Christ. Sometimes we can so rein people in that they don't ever see how what they do makes any sense for the larger body. We got to get past that. We've got to get past it, and because God made you, and we're satisfied with the way he made you. Are you? Or are you trying to be something else, get to somewhere else, do something else? Some of us have let our own desires so handcuff us, so tie us up, that we miss the beauty of what God wants to do in our lives. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, out of line with the way that they're supposed to be, working not at all. But are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Cut it out. Get to work doing what you're supposed to do. But brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Another way of saying that is faint not. Don't faint. Don't get so weary. You know, we can let our weariness wear us down. I know you get weary. I know it's tough. All of the things that mess with your head. All of the things that mess with your body. All of the things that mess with your emotions. Sometimes you just get weary. But don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get weary in doing the right thing. Don't faint now. Let's finish this way. Go with me to the sixth chapter of Galatians. Sixth chapter of Galatians. And that will kind of explain what he's saying here. Maybe better than I. Maybe better than I. We'll start the first verse. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, if you're looking around and saying, yeah, they got a problem. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Be gentle, be loving, be kind. Use your power properly. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Remember, you could be part of the problem. Bear ye one another's burdens. You see that they're weighted down. You see that they're having a difficult time. You see that things are tough in the people around you. Bear ye one another's burden. Help each other out. Bear ye one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. What's that? That we should love one another. Do the most loving thing that you can find to do to any person, wherever that is. Do the most loving thing that you can find. Not the most thing that will make them the happiest necessarily, but do the most loving thing. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. If you think you've got it all together, you're in trouble. If you don't see your own challenges, you're in trouble. But let every man prove his own work. You test your own stuff. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. You've got your own stuff. There's no doubt about that. And so you know everybody has a burden. Everybody has a hurt. Everybody has family that they need to take care of. Everybody has money that they wish they had. Everybody has things that they don't know what to do about. Everybody has all of this stuff. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Share with each other. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Think about the things you've been saying. What have you been sowing? Think about the things that you've been doing. What have you been sowing? We've been in the garden a lot lately, watching other people work. We've been in and I noticed something. What comes out of the ground is what people put into it. What are you putting in? What are you putting into someone's life? Are you putting in strife and pain and argument and debate? Or are you putting in love and contentedness, forgiveness? What are you sowing? Because that's what you're going to reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, love, joy, peace, faith, long-suffering, self-control, goodness. Soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, at the right time, when God knows it's right for you, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let us do good. Let us do good. Let us do good. We need to teach and be taught. We need to preach and we need to hear the word of God. We need to heal and be healed. Some of us are hurting. But you know, I've never seen a doctor run out of the hospital looking for patients. You have to go and say, I need to be healed. I need to be helped. I need to be changed. Today is the day that you hear the call of God. Come to me, all ye who are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It starts, of course, with a relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You got to, that's just a bottom line place to start. But as you build on that, or as God builds on that in you, you come to this realization, this understanding that you need him all the time. You need him for everything. Without him, you can do nothing. Some of us who are Christians haven't come to recognize that well enough. And we go, thank you, God, now I got it, I can run on. And he's saying, come to me. What is it that we can do to work the works of God? Believe on him whom he has sent. Believe on Jesus Christ. Believe in him. We need to cultivate that faith. How do we cultivate faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, let me not start another sermon. Let's pray. Dear Father, I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, which allowed him to be the proper Lamb of God, the proper sacrifice for all of my sin. He died and he rose again 3 days later and is now sitting on the right hand of the Father, one with the Father, as he always was and will be. And I believe that he is both my Savior, my Deliverer, and my Lord, my King, my Sovereign. And to him, to you, Father, I bow forevermore. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer or something like it, God is making a change in you now, this day. Let him have his way.